Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast will have as its special focus nuts. Yes, nuts, and perhaps with a little bit of an inclusion on seeds, because recently I wrote an article for mindbodygreen.com entitled 16 Reasons to Go Nuts for Nuts. And this is over Thanksgiving, and it became quite a sensation. It's had tens of thousands of views and now nearly 6,000 shares. That means people posted it on Facebook and people posted it on Twitter, and it's really gone quite viral. And I'd like to share with you in a more detailed way, because that article was just sort of a short, easy-to-read compendium of reasons to eat nuts, a little bit of the scientific background on why nut consumption may be beneficial. And what has triggered this is an article in the New England Journal of Medicine. It appeared in one of the November editions, the November 21st, 2013 edition of the New England Journal of Medicine. And usually articles in the New England Journal of Medicine are about esoteric diseases and various types of new drugs and surgical procedures. But this one was really news you can use. It was entitled Association of Nut Consumption with Total and Cause-Specific Mortality. And basically what they're saying is that nuts are good for you. They looked at a heck of a lot of people. They took women, over 76,000 women in the Nurses' Health Study, followed for a long period of time, 1980 to 2010, and over 42,000 men, followed by a comparable men's health study. It's called the Health Professionals Follow-Up Study, which extended from 1986 to 2010. And they then administered questionnaires about nut consumption and, comprehensively surveyed diets. And then they compiled statistics in terms of what happened to these people, their fate in terms of various types of diseases that they experienced and deaths. And what this adds up to is over 3 million person years of follow-up. So one person year would mean one person was followed for 1 year. If one person is followed for 30 years, that's 30 years. But you can see it all adds up when you follow lots and lots of men and women over a long period of time. You get millions of years of follow-up. That's pretty cool. And here's what they found. During this period, nut consumption was inversely associated with total mortality among both women and men. In other words, the more nuts you ate, the less you died. And also, there was a significant inverse association between nut consumption and deaths due to cancer, heart disease, and respiratory disease. Specifically, what they found was kind of interesting. 7 or more servings of nuts per week. And what they define as a serving is just 1 ounce of nuts, which is about a handful of almonds. I would certainly qualify for that because one of my favorite desserts, if I'm craving something sweet after a meal, is I'll grab a handful of toasted almonds or maybe I'll break open some pistachios and have some nuts for dessert. And in just a few moments, we'll talk a little bit about some of the ways that you can implement this longevity program, this anti-Grim Reaper program that nuts provide. Seven or more servings of nuts per week cut the risk of dying by fully one third. That's extremely, can you imagine a drug that you could take? You know, if they said taking an aspirin a day will cut your risk of dying by a third, well, they can't quite say that. Maybe there's some statistics that say that aspirin slightly reduces the risk of death, but one third reduction? I mean, you, the stuff would just fly off the shelves. Specifically, those who ate nuts five or more times per week were found to enjoy a 29% reduction in death from heart disease, an 11% reduction in death from stroke, a 23% reduction in death from infectious disease, a 24% reduction in death from respiratory diseases, a 29% reduction in death from kidney disease, and an 11% reduction in death from cancer. Okay, so these are very, very dramatic statistics. Now, it's kind of interesting because, you know, with statistics like this, you would think that nuts could be registered with the Food and Drug Administration as a new drug. And in fact, it's kind of funny because precisely because a nut manufacturer, namely Diamond Food Inc., a manufacturer in particular of walnuts, made a claim that walnuts are heart healthy, which they are. Among the nuts, walnuts are among the heart healthiest. This is back in 2010, where they actually had a lot of research showing that nuts were healthy. But before this conclusive research appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Diamond Food Company was attacked by the Food and Drug Administration with a warning letter. A warning letter saying that they should cease and desist. And I'll share with you some of the details of this warning letter. This is from the Food and Drug Administration, Department of Health and Human Services, and it's to the President and Chief Executive of Diamond Food. Dear Mr. Mendez, the Food and Drug Administration has reviewed the label for your Diamond of California shelled walnuts products and your website at diamondnuts.com. Based on a review, we have concluded that your walnut products are in violation of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. Based on the claims made in your firm's website, we have determined that your walnut products are promoted for conditions that cause them to be drugs. That's pretty incredible. So the walnuts now are drugs. And specifically, what they object to is language like the following. Every time you munch a few walnuts, you're doing your body a big favor. That they object to. Also, they object to this language. Studies indicate that the omega-3 fatty acids found in walnuts may help lower cholesterol, protect against heart disease, stroke, and some cancers, ease arthritis and other inflammatory diseases, even fight depression and other mental illnesses. Well, while true, is too good to be true. And thus, in our crazy system here in America, something that is so efficacious ends up being like a drug. They made several statements, and because of these intended uses, your walnut products are drugs. This is what the Food and Drug Administration is saying. Your walnut products are misbranded. The truthful statement that studies have also shown that omega-3s may lower the risk of stroke. They don't like that. There's good evidence that omega-3s can increase HDL, good cholesterol, further reducing the risk of stroke and heart disease, yada, yada, yada. So what they're saying here is but you better take corrective action, get rid of these statements, because if you do, you may be subject to censure, fines by the FDA, and even confiscation of your misbranded walnuts. According to FDA, the walnuts represent illegal contraband, and if the Diamond Food Inc. Does not correct their erroneous statements, then the federales are going to descend on them, armed with subpoenas and tasers and guns, and they will seize the walnut contraband that is purports to help people in terms of their health. So this is actually not the first time that nuts have been identified as being heart healthy. There's a now famous study of Seventh-day Adventists. You know, Seventh-day Adventists are already on a healthy diet. They are, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists that I know are vegetarians, if not vegans. Some are vegans, some are vegetarians, but they eat a very heart healthy diet. And often studies performed to identify the benefits of plant-based diets are done via Seventh-day Adventist populations. So they're done at a Seventh-day Adventist institution, which is Loma Linda University in Southern California. And so what was interesting is they studied the Seventh-day Adventists, and they know that they're better off than the general populace in the United States in terms of heart statistics. They have less heart disease. They have far fewer in the way of degenerative diseases because they're on a plant-based diet. So the hypothesis was, is it possible that the addition of nuts to an already vegetarian diet might compromise the benefits of the vegetarian diet? After all, nuts are fatty and caloric. And so is it better to be on a ultra low fat vegetarian diet without the fats and oils that nuts provide and the excess calories? Because after all, I mean, you can go through an entire jar of peanut butter or almond butter, add a lot of calories, and perhaps that would fatten you up and make you more prone to heart disease and stroke or diabetes. Well, here's what they found. Even though they were already in a heart healthy, predominantly vegetarian diet, those Seventh-day Adventists who consumed nuts at least five times a week had a 48% lower risk of death from coronary heart disease and a 51% lower risk of a non-fatal heart attack compared to those who consumed nuts less than once weekly. So this was actually a remarkable study that suggested that the ultra-low-fat diet, particularly when it comes to the fats that are provided by nuts, was not all that was cracked up to be, and that a diet that contains healthy oils and other natural substances from nuts could be very beneficial to one's health. So let's now drill down, and from my article in Mind, Body, Green, let's take a look at the 16 reasons why you might want to include nuts frequently in your diet. Aside from the fact that the New England Journal of Medicine article said that if you have a lot of nuts, you have a one-third reduced chance of dying. Sounds good to me. Well, number one, nuts are a perfect vegan food. And in particular, I targeted that notion to the consumers at Mind, Body, Green, many of whom are dedicated vegans and vegetarians. I wanted to convince them that nuts were safe to include in the diet, especially in view of the Seventh-day Adventist study. When you're on a vegan diet, nuts provide a great complement to the grains and fruits and vegetables and legumes that you consume. They do contain some protein. They don't contain all that much protein, but they add healthy oils to balanced vegetarian diets that tend to be a little bit too heavy on grains and carbohydrates. Nuts are useful because they're legal on a vegetarian diet. You can't quarrel with them. They're, you know, plant-based. And they also provide the beneficial fats and certain vitamins and minerals that vegetarians don't get. Number two, nuts are paleo. Now, what does paleo mean? Paleo means that if you go back to our origins in the Paleolithic era before modern agriculture, we were hunter-gatherers, and hunter-gatherers subsisted on whatever was present in the environment. They hunted and killed animals, but they gathered roots and they gathered nuts and they gathered some primitive fruits, not as succulent as our modern varieties. Nuts were part of the Paleolithic scene. And so they qualify as Paleolithic foods. Tree nuts and seeds are actually ancient staples of the human diet, to which millions of years of evolution have made us well adapted. Now, does that mean that you have a license to eat jar after jar of peanut butter? And the answer is probably no, because from a Paleolithic standpoint, nuts were not that plentiful, and also they weren't ground and made real easy to overconsume. Peanuts are not really nuts. They're legumes. And legumes are considered not right up the alley of the Paleolithic diet. Legumes include beans and pulses like lentils, and peanuts are actually part of the legume family. And so from the standpoint of scientists like Lauren Cordain, who wrote the Paleo Diet book, and other people who are experts on paleo diet, some people may have problems with excess legumes. Legumes are a source of lectins, L-E-C-T-I-N, lectins, plural. And lectins may interact with the immune system, with cells in the gastrointestinal tract to create leaky gut syndrome. So that for not everyone, a lot of people tolerate lectins just fine. And they can be part of a healthy diet, especially a vegetarian diet. But from the standpoint of people with perhaps certain autoimmune problems, it may be desirable in pursuing a true paleo diet to pull out the legumes, and thereby peanuts don't really qualify as paleo. I would be really bereft if peanuts were pulled from my diet. But I'm an otherwise healthy person, so peanuts work for me. For a lot of people, peanuts don't work. Peanut allergies are very common. But other nuts are truly paleo, and many seeds are paleo as well. So number three, nuts are very low carb, and they're also low GI. What do I mean by low GI? The glycemic index is a determinant of how quickly the sugars in food are broken down, digested, and assimilated. So something with a high glycemic index would be something like a glass of Coca-Cola. There's lots of calories. There's absolutely no fiber. You guzzle it down, and immediately it enters your stomach, and it's absorbed within just a very few minutes into your bloodstream. It hits your pancreas. It triggers a major insulin response. Day in, day out, the insulin responses can cause your insulin to go up, 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 and promote insulin resistance, deposition of fat in your liver, in your viscera, around your midsection, and generally gum up the works in your body. So we're looking for low glycemic index foods. Nuts are a perfect low glycemic index food because they have some carbohydrates, but the carbohydrates are mixed with protein and fat and lots of fiber, and they're released very, very slowly. So it's no wonder that nuts may be associated with a protective effect against diabetes and heart disease. In addition, if you're a sugar craving person, they're a great snack to stave off sugar craving. Or if you have hypoglycemia or low blood sugar, some people think the way to stave off hypoglycemia is have a candy bar. You actually see these commercials on TV, people are getting grouchy, moody, so go out and have a candy bar. No, don't have a candy bar, because that'll send your blood sugar up transiently, then it'll drop back down and you'll be grouchy and hypoglycemic again. Instead, have a snack of some nuts, some walnuts, some almonds, some peanuts, some pistachios, or some seeds like sunflower seeds, roasted sunflower seeds. All right, number four. We're working our way through this list of 16 reasons to go nuts for nuts. Number four, nuts promote satiety. Nuts are caloric. Let's not, make any bones about it. You overdo it, you can make yourself fat. But actually, studies have shown that people who consume more nuts are less fat. Why could that sounds paradoxical. If nuts are caloric, they're going to make you fat. Well, actually, nuts promote satiety. They make you feel full more easily than other, quote, light food or fat-free food. And as a result, they may stave off the munchies for less healthy, fat-laden or sugar-laden junk food, and thereby can be a perfect adjunct to a program to help you lose weight. Okay, that, you know, sounds paradoxical, but nuts, which work, a lot of people want to avoid nuts, they're concerned, they're caloric, they're fatty. No, nuts may actually help you lose weight. Number five is a clue to the satiety-inducing effects of nuts, because nuts contain a lot of fiber. Now, you may think of a nut as, well, that's not very fibrous. I mean, what's fibrous is maybe some collard greens or kale, or some brown rice, or some peasant bread, you know, dark bread that's very chewy and rich in fiber. Actually, nuts are rich in soluble fiber, and soluble fiber is very helpful in the gastrointestinal tract because it helps to promote the growth of good bacteria. You know, your intestinal flora determine your risk of disease. In particular, diseases like colon cancer flourish in the wrong kind of bacterial environment. You know, anything that's got fiber tends to counteract constipation. Constipation is a risk factor for many gastrointestinal diseases. And fiber also tends to act to sort of absorb and sweep out toxins in your intestine, excess estrogen, which may be a cause of female and male cancers. And also it sweeps out excess cholesterol, promoting lower levels of cholesterol and a more beneficial cardiovascular profile. So the high fiber properties of nuts, very beneficial. The fiber is the soluble kind. All right, number six, nuts are a rich source of phytosterols. Now, what are phytosterols? Plant phytosterols are actually thought to bind to cholesterol and help sweep it harmlessly out of the body. So if you actually go to the American Heart Association website, they promote statin drugs. They say statin drugs are our first line of defense against cardiovascular disease. No question. They're into conventional medicine. But they also give mention to phytosterols, plant phytosterols, as being a potential adjunct to cardiovascular prevention because of their cholesterol-lowering effect. And, in fact, you can buy a plant phytosterol supplements. They're popular for reducing cardiovascular disease. But from a dietary standpoint, where do you get these plant phytosterols? Well, you get them mostly from grains, whole grains, as well as nuts. And they're a great natural way to reduce heart disease risk. Okay, number seven. Nuts are rich in essential fatty acids. Note that they're called essential fatty acids because the body cannot manufacture them. The two main essential fatty acids are linoleic acid, which is an omega-6 fatty acid, and alpha-linolenic acid, which is an omega-3 fatty acid. And, you know, we talk a lot about the balance between omega-6 and omega-3. We like to see more omega-3s in the American diet, but actually both are important. The nuts that tend to be higher in omega-3 are nuts that are from a more northern source. So, among seeds, you know, related to nuts, but not quite the same thing, flaxseed is the highest in omega-3. Why? It comes from a northern latitude. In particular, Canada is a source of flaxseed and northern Europe. But if you go to southern latitudes, you get things like macadamia nuts. They're higher in saturated fat, as well as omega-6. And peanuts are high in omega-6. If you go to middle latitudes, walnuts are relatively higher in omega-3, alpha-linolenic acid, as well as hazelnuts. So the body doesn't make these on its own. You've got to get them from outside sources. And lack of these essential fatty acids can lead to dry skin, inflammation, infertility, even mood and memory problems. And, of course, lack of omega-3 fatty acids will cause heart disease. One caveat about the omega-3 fatty acids from nuts in my opinion, it's not as good to get your omega-3 fatty acids solely from nuts, because if you're a vegetarian and you don't get marine forms of omega-3 fatty acids, such as EPA and DHA, your body has to do a conversion from alpha-linolenic acid, which is a precursor to EPA and DHA. And some people are inefficient converters of alpha-linolenic acid, the precursor to EPA and DHA. And therefore, it's not a bad idea. If you're a vegetarian for ethical reasons, you may want to get some of the newer marine EPA DHAs, which are made from plant sources, algae. As opposed, you know, if you don't want to be a part of the killing fish situation because of being an ethical vegetarian. All right, nuts are a great source of vitamin E. That's number eight. You know, a lot of people get their vitamin E from a vitamin pill, and I'm a big proponent of full-spectrum vitamin E, which our products at drhoffman.com now include. But a lot of vitamin E is synthetic vitamin E. You get alpha-tocopherol or D-alpha-tocopherol. And there are actually four different tocopherols and four different tocotrienols found in nature, in particular foods like avocados and nuts and seeds. And these varied forms of vitamin E are very important. Nuts deliver the full spectrum of this critical antioxidant that's so important for so many cellular functions, protects the heart, protects the brain, and is responsible for supporting the immune system, skin, you name it. Nuts are rich in B vitamins. Nuts provide many vital B complex vitamins such as riboflavin, niacin, thiamine, pantothenic acid, vitamin B6, and folic acid. And the folates. So nuts, you know, sort of like a natural vitamin B pill. Nuts are also a source of critical polyphenols. You've heard the term polyphenol. Polyphenols include such nice things as resveratrol, which nuts actually contain. Polyphenols protect the body from free radicals. They're all plant-derived antioxidants. And nuts contain, as well as resveratrol, they contain some lutein, some cryptoxanthin. That's something that is related to the carotenoid family of polyphenols. Some nuts and seeds, particularly the seeds, flaxseed and sesame, are rich in what are called lignans. These are a subcategory of polyphenols that may protect against reproductive cancers. So we have a product that we give to men and women. It's called Breveil. Breveil helps to protect the breasts and the prostate because it seems to have a protective effect against excess levels of estrogen. And these polyphenols that are present in nuts and seeds are very critical for health. All right, we're now up to number 11. And number 11 stands for zinc. Nuts are the richest plant source of zinc. So especially, you know, this article was directed towards a community of people interested in plant-based eating. Although, you know, the mind-body-green community is a diverse community. Some people are even on a paleo diet, you know, eating lots of meat. But if you are vegetarian or quasi-vegetarian, you need sources of zinc. So you can take a vitamin pill. But you could also eat nuts. Nuts, particularly pumpkin seeds, are extremely rich in zinc. And it's a mineral that's critical for immunity and reproductive function. So think nuts and seeds for zinc. Nuts are also a great natural source of magnesium. Now, magnesium is probably the single most critical deficiency that Americans have. Americans eat a lot of processed food. That means that most of the magnesium has been extracted from it. Magnesium is not really present to a great extent in animal protein or refined carbohydrates. That's what Americans mostly eat, animal protein and refined foods. So plant-based foods provide magnesium, but in particular, nuts and seeds are rich in magnesium. What compounds the magnesium deficiency problem in America is that Americans are stressed. Stress will cause an egress or loss of magnesium from the kidneys, and thus we need to replace our magnesium very frequently. And so this is an important way of providing natural, bioavailable magnesium. And let's keep in mind what magnesium does. It if you don't have enough magnesium, you may experience fatigue or irritability, muscle twitches and cramps. It can even increase the risk of heart problems. Diabetes and high blood pressure, cardiac arrhythmias are associated with magnesium deficiency. And let's not forget magnesium's role in bone metabolism, because everybody's talking calcium and vitamin D, but magnesium is critical in formation of normal bone. Very, very important. Also, when it comes to blood sugar regulation, insulin resistance, when you're magnesium deficient, big problem. And also, a lot of people are taking acid-blocking medication. They have GERD or heartburn, ulcers. They're taking medications like Nexium, Prilosec. These medications interfere with magnesium absorption, and many other medications cause the body to lose magnesium. So think nuts for magnesium. Number 13, nuts deliver copper. Copper doesn't get enough attention because it's important. A lot of people are taking in zinc. Well, too much zinc will actually depress your copper. We're concerned about copper toxicity. Excess copper from the environment may not be good, but we do need some small amounts of dietary copper. And unless you like liver or oysters, nuts and seed are your best bet as dietary sources for the essential trace mineral copper. Number 14, nuts provide selenium or selenium. You say tomato, I say tomato. It turns out that just 2 or 3 Brazil nuts per day could give you all the immune-boosting selenium your body needs. And otherwise, if you're vegetarian or want to follow a quasi-vegetarian diet, you're likely to be selenium deficient, especially if you're not fond of fish or meat. Fish, fairly rich in selenium. Meat provides some, but, you know, nuts are a good source of selenium. In particular, Brazil nuts, all you need is a couple, you know, 2 or 3, and you'll get cancer protection to a full extent from this critical nutrient. And also, it's a vital cofactor for glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. All right, number 15, nuts are portable. You know, let's say you're looking for a good food to have on the trail, or in the office, or if you're commuting in a car, you know, and you don't want to eat, you know, cookies, right? And, you don't want to, grab a can of Ensure, you know, which they're encouraging a lot of people to drink. It's horrible artificial crap. Just pack along some nuts or seeds, and you're going to be able to stash that in your briefcase, your purse, your backpack, in your glove compartment, in your desk at the office. It's not perishable. It's not going to go bad. And it's not going to drip or mess up your the interior of your expensive designer pocketbook. You know, it's a lot easier to carry around than a chicken breast or a hard-boiled egg, which may give off a telltale odor if you're trying to carry a hunger-banishing snack. And finally, nuts are very versatile. So let's talk about some of the ways that you can consume nuts. You can have them as standalone snack foods. We discussed that. You can have them as a dessert. And that's a great way to stave off sweet craving. You know, it's like, you know, you're looking for something super tasty at the end of the meal, and you're always thinking something sweet, right? Well, you can actually have some nice toasted nuts, and they will, you know, sort of provide you with the right punctuation at the end of your meal. And by the time you've had a few nuts, you may realize that you've achieved full satiety, and you're satisfied, and you're ready to, relax and stop eating. You can also spread various types of nuts and seed butters on sandwiches. If you are gluten-free, you can use gluten-free bread or you can use a rice cake. And you don't need to get hung up on just traditional peanut butter. There are a lot of different options available. Here's something that I do. I increase my nut intake by just sprinkling some walnuts or some toasted sunflower seeds on a salad. It provides excellent flavor to a salad. And it also provides a little bit of extra protein, a little bit of extra filling. You know, if you're just having a salad, you know, that's not very satisfying. But if you have some salad with some protein on it and some, you know, maybe put some leftover chicken breast or maybe some, you know, salmon from the night before, and then sprinkle some nuts on top, there you've got a pretty, you know, especially if you're going low carb, that's a good way to go for, you know, a lunch or a light dinner. You know, sprinkle some seeds or nuts on your salads or sprinkle them. You know, if you want to perk up some vegetables, maybe you want to add a flavor accent to some spinach, collard greens, kale, some green leafy vegetables. It's very virtuous to eat, but then unadorned may not be that appetizing. Sprinkle some toasted sesame seeds or some, you know, roasted sunflower seeds on a vegetable side dish, or you can mix some nuts with grains. That actually improves the glycemic index of the grains. The grains is just starch, but with the nuts added, provides a little oil and protein, and it can slow the rapid absorption of the carbohydrates in the grains. Or you can use nuts as a gluten-free crust for baked fish or chicken. You know, that's you know, instead of using the traditional breadcrumbs, you can get some chopped nuts. I've even seen at restaurants pistachio-crusted fish dishes. It's delicious. You bake the fish, and it's quite good. Or you can power blend nuts into your favorite smoothie. I mean, if you want a smoothie that is balanced, you could put, you know, not just fruit and fruit juice and protein powder into your smoothie. You can add some nuts, and with the high speed power blenders that they now have available, the nuts will be blended to a smooth consistency within your blender. You can also, I mean, think imaginatively. You could add a little bit of avocado as well to your power blended smoothie, and thereby get a little bit of healthy fat and a little bit of protein and a little bit of flavor and sort of a nice fibrous, foamy consistency. It really is compatible with smoothie drinks. So, just a word on, you know, I'm sure people are going to be thinking about this, you know, toasted versus raw. A lot of people are, big on raw nuts. They're raw nut enthusiasts, and they believe that the only way you can properly consume nuts is, in the raw form. And that if you toast nuts, you will destroy the enzymes or the healthy ingredients in nuts. This is actually, there is a little bit of a give and take on that. Yes, you will actually destroy some of the properties of nuts by toasting nuts. But toasting nuts makes them a little more palatable and flavorful for some people. And also, it makes them more digestible because nuts in a raw form, one of the problems with nuts is that for some people, they're a little hard to digest. They actually contain, and seeds, nuts and seeds both, contain digestion inhibitors. And the reason for that is that in nature, they are the endosperm of like the little embryos of plants. Okay, so they provide nutrition for the growing plant when the plant gets implanted in the ground. And as a result, they have a unique way of getting carried around in the environment. Nuts and seeds are tasty, and they could be consumed by animals, but some of them contain digestion inhibitors so that they're not properly digested in the animal's stomachs, and then they literally get transported to the other side of the mountain and pooped onto the ground, and that's how they get around. Some seeds have feathers. Some, you know, like dandelions have like little feathers that enable them to be carried by the wind. And since plants can't walk, They have developed over hundreds of millions of years of evolution, ways of being transported across the environment. One of them is to make digestion inhibitors. So when you roast or toast nuts, you actually break down some of the digestion inhibitors, and you make the nutrients in the nuts or seeds more bioavailable, more digestible. You reduce the risk of digestive upset and problems, and you may liberate some of the nutrients therein. It's kind of akin to the argument of, you know, should you eat raw collard greens? Well, that's a little grody for some people, a little tough to chew and consume. But if you steam them and then lightly saute them in olive oil, they'll be very soft, digestible, and they'll release their nutritious contents more readily into your system. Same thing with nuts. So I am not, you know, I know I'm going to trigger major controversy here among proponents of raw foods, but I think that if you prefer not to have raw nuts, you prefer them toasted, it's not a big problem, and you may actually enhance the bioavailability of the nutrients. Remember the study done that I cited at the beginning of the story? It did not distinguish between raw nuts and toasted nuts, that big article in the New England Journal of Medicine. And I invite you to go to mindbodygreen.com and just, you know, look at, use the search engine there. Look me up, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I've written several articles for them. Check out the original article and share it if you like, because we already got about 6,000 shares. That's how these healthy notions go viral. Let's have an epidemic of nut eating, because it turns out nuts are very healthy and they help you in so many ways to stave off the Grim Reaper. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. You've just listened to a free podcast brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. F-R-E-E is my favorite four-letter word, but these podcasts do involve time and money to produce. And so in the spirit of defraying some of our very real production costs and to keep these podcasts flowing, I'd like to ask you to consider a couple of things. First, if you like what you're hearing, please share these podcasts with your friends and relatives. Our object is to continue the spectacular growth of the Intelligent Medicine Podcasts with the goal of attaining 250,000 podcast downloads per month in 2014. I know that with the help of dedicated listeners like you, it'll happen. Second, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store and consider buying your supplements via a convenient internet portal, or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements that I talk about here on Intelligent Medicine and that I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. And finally, consider becoming a patient at the Hoffman Center. I can personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the Intelligent Medicine principles that you hear about on these podcasts, or alternatively, make an appointment with Layla Mutin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Anyway, thanks for listening and continue enjoying our Intelligent Medicine Podcasts.